going to Deuteronomy chapter 28 today. Topic of the blessings of God. Deuteronomy 28, we'll read a few verses here. Deuteronomy 28, yep. There's a lot of records in the Bible that talk about God's blessings on his people. How much God desires to bless his people. And you know, a lot of that blessing just flows because God is so good. And he just blesses people. He blesses everyone. It says he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He gives beautiful things around for man to enjoy. You know, but to see God's blessings in your life, in our lives, it requires us to also respond to this God who gives everything for his people. And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Now this section is written to Israel. Okay, it's written to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. But the principle of doing God's word, doing what God asks us to do, applies to us and everything God asks us to do today. And here he says, just do my word and I will set you on high. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. It says it twice. Just listen to what I say. And all these blessings. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, your children, and the fruit of thy ground, whatever you grow and work on, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. You'll notice here in these few verses, God will cover all of life. There's nothing left here in which if we go to him that we will not be blessed. No area. Verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee, thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Run away because of our God. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land the Lord thy God giveth. A lot of times people ask, "Oh God, what should I do for my job? What kind of job should I get? What profession?" God says, look, you serve me. It doesn't much matter what you do. I'm going to bless you in whatever you set your hand to. No. Provided you aren't running a brothel. Or, you see what the point is, right? Jeez. There are some things you shouldn't be doing, right? Fair enough, right? If you serve God, it says he'll bless you in all that you do. In all that you set your hand in. He told Israel that. And us. Verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself in as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Notice here right throughout the section, he keeps saying, bless, just do what I ask. Just do what my word is. Just and bless. Just if you just listen to me. This particular section of scripture and the way it writes written here is repeated many times in God's word. The same pattern of God says, if you will follow my word, then these are the blessings that shall pursue. Which is to say, if you don't follow my word, there's no guarantee. You may be blessed because God is just so good. He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. But if you do his word, absolute guarantee. No question. That's what he says. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, and then the rest of the record, if you want to read it sometime, worth a read. But he tells you multiple times. See, what is our part in this whole thing is to just obey his word. If I obey his word, then I don't have to worry about my children and my job and all the other things. But if I spend my time worrying about all the other things, I can't solve those issues. God always has the harder part. He always has more to do. The only thing he asks us to do is just trust him. And then all the rest of the stuff just flows. And we don't need to be worried about that stuff. Okay. Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Chapter 32. Again, there's a lot of sections like this. 2 Chronicles 32. The blessings of God. He certainly is a God that has wanted to and always done whatever he can to bless his people. Deuteronomy 32, Second Chronicles 32, Verse 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. So he's attacking the children of Israel, this king of Assyria. And verse 2, when Hezekiah, who was the king at the time of Judah, saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains, and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? And he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken, and raised it up to the towers, another wall without, and repaired Milo, city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the city street at the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He says, he does what he knows to do. But in the end, he says, look, there's always more with us than with him. Because anybody who ever comes against the people of God comes with an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to fight our battles. And any time Israel trusted in that God, they didn't lose anybody. They never lost a man. It's only when they went astray from his commandments that things didn't work out so well. But when they trusted him, they trusted God, they never lost a man. In John chapter 14. Again, we just looked at two very brief records, but there are many, many such records in the Old Testament. God promised his blessings to his people. John 14. Now, when Jesus Christ was here, did he bring any blessings to people? He was his Father's Son. You know, God is a God of blessing. What Jesus Christ, the Son of God, brought to the world was great blessing. And we're going to see that Jesus Christ was the avenue by which the whole world was to be blessed. It says in John, God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Loved the world, didn't hate it, tolerate it, or put up with it. He so loved that he gave his Son. So Jesus Christ was the avenue by which God's blessings were going to flow in this time. John 14, verse 10. It says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." See, God was still doing the works that he was doing in the Old Testament, but now it was going to be by way of Jesus Christ. That's the way God set it up. Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." John chapter 6. Let's go back a few chapters there. And so there was all these wonderful blessings that Jesus Christ was bringing to people, just like his Father God did in the Old Testament. And they asked him, so the people, his disciples came to him and said, "Look, this is really cool what you're doing here. Can we do some of this?" So John 6:28. He says, "Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" You know, you're doing all these wonderful things. And we know in the Old Testament, God did some wonderful things. Well, can we do some of these things? Look what he answers, verse 29. He says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." He goes, you want to see the blessings of God in your life? You want to see the works of God happen? Believe on Jesus Christ. That's what he told them. That's not hard, is it? It'd be a lot harder to try and do the works without believing on Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? But he says, you want to see the works of God, you want to see the blessings, believe on him whom he hath sent. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16 is an interesting verse. Believing on Jesus Christ. Where do I want to go here? Yeah. Verse 13, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, well, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What are people talking about? Who are they saying that I am? Who am I?" Right. And they said unto him, "Well, Jesus, some guys say you're John the Baptist. Some guys say you're Elijah the prophet. And others, Jeremiah or one of their prophets." And he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So he asked, Peter said, "Look, you're the Christ, the Son." He goes, "Look," and he got so excited. He goes, "You're right. God just showed you that I am the Christ." See, Jesus Christ was the avenue by which all of God's blessings were to flow in this time period. They were to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the one by which we're to be blessed. And again, it's no harder than in the Old Testament. All God said, "Well, just follow my commandments. I'll make sure that, you know, your pregnancies are healthy, your babies, your children are healthy. I'll make sure your job is healthy. When you go out and come in, you'll be blessed. You know, people will be afraid of you. You're going to come at you one way and run away seven ways. And all you got to do is believe what I tell you." And here he says, all you got to do is believe on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the blessings that I've given you, they're there. You don't have to make the blessings happen. That would be the hard part, wouldn't it? The easy part is believing on Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 17. Acts 17. In verse 16, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens," is Paul the apostle waiting for Silas and Timothy to come join him in Athens? "His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "Well, what's this babbler going to say?" Others some, "Well, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Apparently a lot of time on their hands. Verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." I should really say you are very religious. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." They had all a bunch of gods there, right, in order to just make sure they didn't miss a god. They had one that was to the unknown God. That was to cover the rest of the gods, just in case they missed a god. So Paul, you know, being God showing him what to do, said, "I'm going to tell you about this unknown God that you guys don't know about." That way he would not violate their believing in the other gods. You see, he's very wise here. You don't go to somebody and teach them about Jesus Christ and God and say, "Well, what you're believing is a bunch of junk. You're an idiot. What the hell is wrong with you?" Right. Unless God tells you to. But he just told them, "I know you guys are very religious. You guys have a lot of gods. But there's one God here you guys don't know much about. Let me tell you about him." Very smart, right? Let me tell you about him. Verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needs anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Look at the blessings that flow from God. "And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." You can't put God in a box or a figurine or rosary beads or a cross, or, and you cannot put God in that, in a symbol or an emblem or a statue or any or relic. That's not God. That's not what you do with God. Verse 30. "And the times of this ignorant, when they all did that, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." God doesn't wink anymore at those things, because now he's made a way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Verse 31. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." He goes, the times of, you know, winking at those mistakes and idolatry, people, they're gone. Because now he said, this is the one you ought to believe in, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him all blessings flow, and by him will all the world be judged in the future. So he says, you come to him now. And then it was up to them to forget about the rest of their gods if they wanted to. But he sure laid it on the line. Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2, and verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, talking about Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And guess what? That brings glory to the Father. It is Jesus Christ who God has marked out, through whom all the blessings are to flow in this time period to his man, to his people, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made Jesus Christ the head of the body to which you and I belong. He has put all things under the feet of Jesus Christ. So all the blessings of God come to us by way of the work of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come on to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. God set Jesus Christ as the one who mediates between him and people. Jesus Christ is the one who makes the way to God. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing him as Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead, that takes us to God. And it's by the work of Jesus Christ. He's the one that opens the door to all the blessings on mankind, is Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2. Certainly not going to do an exhaustive study on all the blessings that come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Just looking at a few verses here. Hebrews 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. Jesus Christ is the one. He's the one who took us to God. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the one that opened the door for all of God's blessings to flow. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. One chapter over. Seeing, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. He's also our high priest. That is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our profession, or it should be confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, we were just talking about grace before. Grace, you were sharing about that. Here we are. Here we have a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now our Lord, who now, it says, because of all that he did, if you need more grace, as if we haven't enough, if you need more grace and you need mercy, I'll raise my hand that I daily need mercy for the stupid things that I end up doing sometimes, many times, all the time. Well, we need mercy. I mean, God is a God of mercy and compassion. If we need more mercy and we need more grace, it says here we can come boldly and say, God, I need mercy, I need grace because of what Jesus Christ is. You know, that avenue of blessing was opened by the Lord Jesus Christ. He did all the work on our behalf. So now, I don't have to give myself grace and mercy. I can go boldly to God and say, God, I need grace, I need mercy, help. And guess what? He'll give it to you. Because you believed on Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8. Almost done here. A couple more verses. Again, you could look at the entire New Testament. You should. To look at all the blessings that flow because of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And I think it's pretty obvious from some of the verses we read. Is God for us? He's for us. He's not against us. He's not trying to judge you. He's not trying to annoy you, frustrate you, challenge you. He's blessed you. He's opened the door to blessings. That's what he's done. And he says, if God before us, and he is, who can be against us? It doesn't really matter. If God is on our side, the against us doesn't make any difference. If God be for us, look at me again, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He had his son die for us, so why would he, since he had his only begotten son die for us, why would he not also now give us all things? You see how the blessings flow through the work of Jesus Christ. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, Paul, you were talking about the accuser, right? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to lay something against you and say, you miserable so-and-so, what the heck is... Who's going to do that? And here, it's a question. God that justifies? Now, probably we're talking about being justified. Right? God that justifies. Is God who justified you going to lay anything... That would be silly. He just justified you. He calls you righteous. So now, why would he lay anything to your charge? He can't. He won't do that. He would never do that. Verse 34. Who is going to condemn you? Verse 30. Christ that died? Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? So here he is, Christ, making intercession for you and me. Why would he condemn you? It's totally ridiculous, isn't it? Never. He makes intercession for you. So he would not condemn you. God is not going to. So if God is not going to condemn you, God is not going to accuse you, Jesus Christ is not going to condemn you or accuse you, who's left that matters? Nobody. The only one that is going to accuse you, as you were saying, Paul, is the accuser. The adversary. The god of this world, Satan. He is the only one that's going to do it. And it doesn't matter if God and Jesus Christ won't do it, because they're on our side. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, no we're not. Verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Just like that thing in Hebrew Deuteronomy. Remember he covered all those things? Mm-hmm. All the blessings. There was nothing left out. He leaves nothing out here. Nothing can separate us. So all those blessings flow through the work of Jesus Christ. Nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, by the way. Nothing here, nothing in the past, nothing to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Wow, what a great section. Right. And we're going to close in Ephesians chapter 1, which you read from today, Grace. Ephesians chapter 1. All that God has done in Christ Jesus has opened the door for all of his blessings to flow to this time period. And many, many blessings. We read just a few in the Old Testament. And yet today, because of the work of Jesus Christ, through him, all these bountiful blessings, God finally has an open door to bless us mightily, like he's always wanted to. In Ephesians 1:4, it says very, very clearly, according as he hath chosen us in him. Sorry, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ. See, in him we have that this about covers everything else you want to think about. All spiritual blessings in Christ. See, he's the one that God chose as the mediator between God and man. He's the one who is the captain of our salvation, the one who brings us salvation. He's our high priest. He is the one because of whom we can go and go to God for mercy and grace when we need it. Right? He's the returning Lord of Lords. He is our Savior. He is the bright and morning star. He is the head of the body. He is our completeness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. And the list goes on and on and on. All the blessings that God has ever wanted to give man flow through the work of Jesus Christ. So, worthy effort for us to spend the time looking at what God's Word says about all those blessings. Yeah. God bless.